Hello, this is Joan with the Bloomington Normal Pantograph, dated Thursday, September 10th, 2020. We will begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, Now is the Time, Pritzker Officials, Stakes Are High, So Fill Out Census, by Sierra Henry. Normal. With weeks until the 2020 census deadline, Governor J.B. Pritzker and Bloomington Normal leaders on Wednesday urged residents to make sure the community gets its fair share of federal dollars. Redbirds, I want to make sure you know the stakes could not be higher, Pritzker said, noting Normal's participation rate was below the state average. Illinois Department of Human Services Secretary Grace B. Ho, Illinois State University President Larry Dietz, State Senator Bill Brady, State Representative Dan Brady, Normal Mayor Chris Coos, and Bloomington Normal NAACP President Linda Foster joined Pritzker in encouraging people to register for the census. Normal has a 65.9% response rate, a 10 percentage point increase from 2 weeks earlier, the governor said. But it is still below the statewide response rate of 70% and the McLean County response rate of 72%. Just a 1% undercount could result in the state losing more than $195 million in federal funds each year, he said. The census determines how federal funding is allocated for education, health services, and for roads and infrastructure. Census data also determines representation in the U.S. House of Representatives. It will bring more investment, better schools, better roads, and better health care to your community and to your family, Pritzker said. The census is a crucial tool to get the funds to invest in our people and build the equitable Illinois that we all want to build. With only 21 days left, local and state leaders are pushing people to participate. People can register for the census online at my2020census.gov or call 1-844-330-2020. Now is the time, said Hu. If you want your voice, if you want representation, if you want resources in this community, now is the time. College students are among the hardest populations to count, Pritzker said. Illinois State University launched in March the Every Redbird Counts campaign in an effort to promote the census among students. That campaign garnered 6,000 responses by May, but there is still work to be done, said Dietz. Foster said civil rights organizations have fought for individuals to have a voice, and the census is another avenue to exercise that voice. People of color are affected by underfunding, underpolitical representation, and are undercounted, she said. What we're doing is that we are investing in our future, in our kids and our grandkids, and our community, so that we can have fully funded schools, senior programs, health care, social services, and the like. Pritzker addressed also the rising number of COVID-19 cases, particularly on college campuses across Illinois. He said the state is continuing to expand coronavirus testing and that the state is working to provide increased testing for students and faculty. He said students should remain vigilant and avoid large gatherings, but said enforcement of mask and social distancing mandates is a challenge. Pritzker does not recommend universities sending students who test positive back to their hometowns because it could increase risk of other people contracting the virus. Enforcement has always been a challenge because we certainly don't want to arrest people who aren't wearing a mask or who aren't following the provisions of our mask mandate or gathering mandates, said Pritzker. But at the same time, we need to make sure that the message gets across to people that this is an insidious virus. The next front page story is entitled, ISU police probe Nelk visit. Officials: YouTubers crowds broke COVID mass gathering rules. By Paul Sweech, Sierra Henry, and Allison Petty. Normal. Students who gathered en masse and maskless to see YouTube personalities, the Nelk Boys, could face consequences that include suspension, Illinois State University President Larry Dietz said Wednesday. ISU authorities are working with the Normal Police Department to investigate Tuesday night's visit by the popular group, stylized as Nelk or Nelk Boys, on YouTube. Its members are known for producing videos of pranks that generate millions of page views, but officials said the YouTube star's visit to town led to large flash mob-style gatherings that ultimately were broken up by police. We're going to continue to work with landlords and the university, but the students have to be accountable, Normal Police Chief Rick Bleichner said Wednesday. Just because some internet sensation shows up, it doesn't mean all caution should be thrown to the wind. The students need to be accountable for their actions. The town of Normal last week issued orders limiting the number of people to 10 or fewer at gatherings near the ISU campus and requiring restaurant and bar patrons to be seated to be served. The measures were aimed at limiting the spread of COVID-19, which grew after ISU classes began August 18th. People in violation can face fines of up to $750, but the town and Normal police are seeking voluntary compliance. Normal Mayor Chris Coos said the town intends to pursue action against not only the Nelk Boys, but also those who invited the YouTube stars to campus. I think they should answer for their actions, whether that's a fine or a university code of conduct action, he said. Coos added that police have learned that the Nelk Boys were on their way to Chicago before changing route to the university. Dietz addressed the situation during an unrelated news conference Wednesday morning. It really gives me no joy to convey my great disappointment in the actions of those who gathered, he said. Indeed, the bulk of our students here are doing what we expect them to do. Unfortunately, some of those last night did not. We're investigating that. If any individuals are identified out of that gathering, we have a student conduct code that will be applied. The mayor and I are talking about other potential sanctions that the town of Normal might issue as well. Interim suspensions, and interruption of the students' plan to be here are all possible consequences, Dietz said. The Nelk YouTube channel has more than 5.6 million subscribers. Some recently posted videos include drinking fake beer in a self-driving Tesla, 4.8 million views, and we pranked a Bigfoot expert with a fake Bigfoot, 5.4 million views. Short videos posted on Instagram by the Nelk Boys account and Kyle Forgeard, one of the members, tagged Illinois State University as the location and showed large crowds of people clustered together, yelling and not wearing masks. A request for comment sent to the Business Inquiry's email address for the Nelk Boys was not answered Wednesday afternoon. Bleichner said police received the initial call of a gathering at 1:50 a.m. Wednesday outside off-campus student housing. They created the gatherings, Bleichner said, of the Nelk Boys. The gatherings happened here because they were here. The group sets up shop and starts recording, and people show up, he said. The first gathering was in the 600 block of Broadway. Then the gathering moved to the 500 block of Mulberry Street, and then the 200 block of Willow Street, Bleichner said. When the police arrived at the latter location, they found about 200 people gathered outside. Police identified someone affiliated with the group and told them they were done for the night, he said. They complied, but it took a while for everyone to clear out, Blackner said. No one was fined at the time because police were focused on dispersing the crowd, the chief said. But Blackner said normal police were considering later Wednesday whether any fines should be issued and whether there is some accountability for this group, NELC. Pop-up parties are a problem, the chief added. ISU Police Chief Aaron Woodruff also told the Pantograph that there were three locations where people gathered. Police would break up the crowd and they would move to another place, he said. Normal and ISU police agencies are working together to investigate and facilitate the disciplinary process, he said. It is disappointing. A majority of our students, as evidenced by even the protests we had Friday night, are doing the right thing, wearing face coverings, Woodruff said. Unfortunately, last night, it doesn't take much for people to violate all the safety precautions that were put in place, not just for their safety, but for the safety of others. ISU spokesman Eric Jome said the university was continuing to gather information about the incident on Wednesday. That sort of flash mob, large gathering, is what we've been stressing to students to avoid, Jome said. It's concerning. Asked for comment about the situation, Jessica McKnight, administrator of the McLean County Health Department, said, "Right now, especially, we're looking for our community to act responsibly and do the things that move us forward and not backward. Gatherings in large groups without face coverings add to the spread of the COVID-19 virus." The town is working with local apartment complex owners and the university to be proactive in preventing large-scale gatherings from occurring, Kuz said. Normal has asked property owners to notify the town when they think something is brewing so the town can respond. Kuz called the late-night party a perfect storm between the flash mob nature of the party, which made it difficult to detect, and having half of the town's police department responding to a fatal accident at the same time. There is a lot of community anger about it because it's things like this that can cause us to step back, Kuz said. It could impact local businesses and it could impact student life for those who are trying to comply with what needs to happen to tamp this COVID virus down. The next story is entitled, County adds 36 cases, but positivity rate declines, by Paul Sweech. Bloomington. While 36 more cases of COVID-19 were reported in McLean County on Wednesday, the county also reported a decline in the percentage of those who tested positive in the past week. That metric, known as the 7-day positivity rate, fell to 9.9% for the week through Tuesday. That marks a continued decrease since it reached 12.5% for the 7-day period ending Saturday. Elsewhere in central Illinois, Logan County reported 15 new COVID cases on Wednesday, and Livingston and LaSalle counties each reported 9 new cases. McLean County's cumulative positivity rate of the 56,600 tests conducted since March, remained 4.7%, McKnight said Wednesday. So far this week, 163 county residents have tested positive for the novel virus. A total of 2,662 county residents have been diagnosed with COVID since March 19th. 8 people are hospitalized, including 2 in intensive care, which is unchanged from Tuesday. A total of 1,330 people are isolating at home, 19 more than on Tuesday. Another 1,307 people have recovered, an increase of 17 from the day before. 17 McLean County residents have died of COVID. The most recent death was announced Friday. The age group with the largest number of COVID cases in McLean County is people in their 20s, followed by 19-year-olds. McLean County COVID cases rose rapidly after Illinois State University students returned to normal as classes began August 17th. The positivity rate of ISU students tested on campus declined. ISU reported Wednesday that during the previous 7 days, 211 students had tested positive of 1,544 students tested on campus for a positivity rate of 13.7%. On-campus testing for asymptomatic students was not conducted from Friday through Monday because of the Labor Day holiday weekend. ISU officials expressed concern after students gathered early Wednesday outside three off-campus housing units to see YouTube personalities in the Nelk Boys. A total of 1,321 students have tested positive for COVID-19 since classes began, with 6,633 students tested on campus. That makes for a total positivity rate of 20%. McLean County last Friday was among 29 Illinois counties placed on the Illinois Department of Public Health's COVID-19 warning list because of the county's number of new cases and a positivity rate exceeding 8%. Logan County Health Department reported 15 new COVID cases, which ranged from a toddler to a person in their 80s. That means 336 Logan County residents have had confirmed cases of the virus. 256 have recovered. Livingston County Health Department reported 9 new COVID cases, which ranged in age from people in their 20s to people in their 60s. That brings to 264 the number of residents of that county who had confirmed cases of the virus. 215 have recovered. LaSalle County Health Department also reported 9 new COVID cases, bringing that county's total to 1,424. The newly diagnosed range in age from teenagers to a man in his 80s. 20 more LaSalle County residents have recovered from the virus, meaning 858 of the 1,424 people have recovered. Statewide, Illinois Department of Public Health reported 1,337 new COVID cases on Wednesday, bringing the state's total since March to 253,690 cases. IDPH also announced 30 new COVID deaths, including fatalities in Christian, Coles, LaSalle, Macon, Peoria, and Sangamon counties. Jenny Barry, Public Information Officer for the LaSalle County Health Department, said that county's fatality was reported by the Health Department and the Pantograph on Tuesday. The statewide positivity rate for COVID cases as a percent of tests for the 7 days ending Tuesday was 3.7%, IDPH said. As of Tuesday night, 1,580 Illinoisans were hospitalized with COVID, with 357 of them in intensive care units. There were 815 people tested Tuesday at the COVID-19 testing site run by Reditus Laboratories at the McLean County Fairgrounds, according to the county's Emergency Management Agency. And a sidebar tells us how to get tested. Where? McLean County Fairgrounds, 1106 Interstate Drive, Bloomington. When? 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. daily, except holidays. What you need to be able to complete a nasal self-swab test. There is no charge to the person being tested, but insurance information is collected if applicable. And here is a related story headlined, McLean County Board of Health President, Hold Students Accountable, by Paul Sweech. Bloomington. McLean County's Board of Health president says Illinois State University should hold accountable students who share responsibility for the county's surge of COVID-19 cases. Carla Pohl said during Wednesday night's board meeting, held virtually and at the government center, that the university should work with the health department and discipline students who attend large gatherings without wearing masks, as recommended by the health department since the county had its first COVID case in March. Pohl complimented Normal Mayor Chris Koos and Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner for their recent steps to slow the spread of the virus. The town of Normal last week issued orders limiting the number of people to 10 or fewer at gatherings near the ISU campus and requiring restaurant and bar patrons to be seated to be served. Bloomington city leaders have begun using liquor licenses to hold businesses accountable when complaints are received about patrons not wearing masks properly and not socially distancing. Health Department Administrator Jessica McKnight applauded ISU President Larry Dietz's statement earlier Wednesday that students who gathered en masse overnight Tuesday off campus to see YouTube personalities, the Nelk Boys, could face discipline, including interim suspensions. The university has said it will apply its student conduct code, is in contact with the health department, and is looking at measures applied on other campuses, McKnight said. The Board of Health discussion followed the continued rise of COVID cases in McLean County. The health department reported earlier in the day 36 new cases, continuing the rise that began when college students returned in mid-August, bringing the county's total since March to 2,662 cases. Earlier in the meeting, letters were read from several county residents who believe the board and other county and city leaders should take stronger steps to combat the recent COVID rise. Tom Anderson, Health Department Environmental Health Director, said his staff had addressed 447 COVID-related complaints since March. Most regarded people not wearing masks, not wearing them properly, or not socially distancing while in restaurants. The health department issues warnings to businesses, and most businesses are working to comply, Anderson said. But the health department has had to repeatedly warn several establishments, and one has received 8 warnings, he said. We have no process to issue a ticket, Anderson said. He and the board discussed whether the health department should take enforcement action. Our numbers keep going up, board member Susan Schaefer said. We need to make sure as a board of health that we explore every option available to us. I don't understand why we wouldn't issue tickets, said board member Hannah Eisner, saying that sends a message. But Chris Spanos, McLean County First Assistant State's Attorney, said, we are constrained by statutes and administrative code. Anderson and Spanos will discuss the matter and have a recommendation for the board at its next meeting. Since August 24th, 14 more contact tracers have been hired by the health department. 6 more start on Monday, 6 more start on September 21st, and 15 more in early October, McKnight reported. Contact tracers interview and advise people who have tested positive for COVID and their close contacts to limit the spread of the virus. In other business, the board approved a health department balanced budget of revenue and expenses of $8,528,885 for the fiscal year that begins January 1st. That 6% more than the budget for the current fiscal year because of an increase in equalized assessed valuation, EAV, and because federal grants to fight COVID that were received mid-year will carry over into next year, McKnight said. The health department's overall tax rate will remain $0.11066 per $100 of equalized assessed valuation, McKnight said. That means the owner of a $165,000 house will pay about $60.80 for the health department's share of their tax bill next year, she said. The health department has 80 full and part-time employees whose responsibilities include restaurant inspections and communicable disease control. And here's an item entitled Bradley on Quarantine. Peoria. Bradley University is requiring all students to quarantine for 2 weeks and is temporarily reverting to remote learning due to concerns that clusters of COVID-19 are linked to off-campus gatherings, officials announced Tuesday. Beginning at 8 p.m. Tuesday, students at the college in Peoria must limit non-essential interactions, stay in their off-campus apartments, residence halls, or Greek houses, and take classes remotely for 14 days, according to a press release. They are prohibited from gathering with anyone besides roommates, having guests over, or patronizing restaurants and bars. The school has tallied about 50 cases so far, according to the release. The school served about 4,600 undergraduate students last year, though it wasn't clear how many had returned for fall classes. And the next item is entitled, Normal Man ID'd in Fatal Crash, by Pantograph staff. Normal. A normal man was identified Wednesday afternoon as the victim of a fatal motorcycle crash outside Bloomington Normal. Kyle P. Casey, 23, was the sole occupant of a motorcycle that struck the back of a van about 11:20 p.m. Tuesday on southbound U.S. Route 150 Rivian Motorway near West College Avenue, according to a statement from Illinois State Police. The van was driven by 52-year-old Collinsville man, police said. Casey was pronounced dead at 11:46 p.m. Preliminary autopsy results indicate Casey died of blunt injuries due to the motorcycle striking the delivery van, McLean County Coroner Kathy Yoder said. Toxicology testing is pending. The McLean County Sheriff's Office and Normal Fire Department also responded to the scene late Tuesday. The crash remains under investigation by the coroner's office and Illinois State Police. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for September 10th. Please stay tuned.